Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, when our next guest, Max Lugavere's mother, became ill, he postponed his successful media career to learn everything he could about brain health and performance. For the better part of half of a decade, he consumed the most up-to-date scientific research, talked to dozens of leading scientists and clinicians around the world, and visited the country's best neurology departments, and now has presents a guide to better brain optimization. So the link between our disarray in lifestyle choices and our brain function, really, as we have talked about on the show quite a few times recently, and as our guest says, all of this is staggering, this disconnect. We are pleased now that Max Lugavere can help us connect our dietary choices and our brain. He joins us now by phone. Welcome to The Mountain Life.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be here with you guys.
All right. It's great to have you. So I've just got to start with the story because you are such a sweet son. You love your mom so much. Tell us about what happened and sort of where you went with it.
Yes. I mean, my background really was not as a medical doctor, but as a journalist. I used to work for a TV network in the United States called Current TV, and that was available in 100 million homes, and I did that for 6 years, really getting to learn from the best of the best storytellers and journalists, Peabody Award-winning journalists. And when I left Current TV to try to figure out, you know, at that nascent stage in my career, where I was going to go next, I started spending more and more time in New York City around my mother. And both myself and my younger brothers started to notice at a certain point that my mom's cognition had markedly diminished. It seemed suddenly as though, you know, talking to her was like talking to a much older person. And because I had no prior family history of any kind of neurodegenerative disease, and my mom certainly wasn't old. I mean, she was 58 at the time, which is young, and she, you know, was spirited, blonde. I basically became fixated on trying to understand why this would have happened to my mom. And it led to me going around the country with her to some of the best neurology departments that we have. And I experienced, unfortunately, what I've come to describe in every instance as diagnose and adios. You know, my mom was prescribed some kind of biochemical Band-Aid, and we were sent on our way. And it was at the Cleveland Clinic when my mom was, for the first time, prescribed drugs for both Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease. And that was one of the hardest weeks of my entire life. It was highly traumatic, coming to terms with the fact that my mom could have some kind of neurodegenerative condition. And at a certain point after that initial trauma subsided, I basically remembered in my back pocket that I had these skills that very few people have, and that is as a journalist, which is very similar to how you're trained in science. You know, you're trained to really know how to do research, how to identify credible sources, and I just began to obsessively research and try to understand how diet and lifestyle affect brain health. And that's what led to me writing the book Genius Foods, which is packed with all of the discoveries that I've made.
So when in this time did you direct the film Breadhead? Because that's also about dementia prevention through diet and lifestyle.
Yes. So Breadhead was really the first project that I ever came out with, and that was really as a means of making a film about dementia prevention, really bringing those two words together for the first time in a documentary, dementia and prevention, but also to give me an excuse to go to some of these labs and interview these researchers. So that was a project that I did a Kickstarter for at the beginning of 2015. And actually, crazily enough, we're still working on the project. So that project is not finished yet. But whereas my focus really began about dementia prevention, once I started descending down the rabbit hole, the research rabbit hole, I started to learn about the full breadth of ways that diet and lifestyle affect brain function. So Breadhead is really about dementia prevention exclusively, and Genius Foods, which is my new book, is really about, it's sort of the prescriptive guide to brain health. So it's basically everything that I've learned over the course of the journey, whereas Breadhead is more of a narrative story.
Max, with everything that you have learned and all the research that you've done, I'm wondering if you've encountered what Lynn and I encounter when we do this show, because we talk to a lot of different people over the last 5 years about these sorts of topics, and they're sort of easy, there are easy targets like sugar. You know, sugar's the big new problem and a, you know, actual well-researched, scientifically documented problem. It causes inflammation, has all sorts of negative consequences. And so we should be eliminating sugar and processed sugar from our processed foods. And there doesn't seem to be any crossover with things like almonds that you point out as being really good for cognitive function. But we just interviewed a fellow last week, Dr. Gundry, who said that it has lectins, and so you should not be eating almonds. And I find this all the time. I look at things that I really like and have always felt were really good for me and have, you know, helped my cognitive functioning, and then find out it has lectins and it's creating or could be creating leaky gut. Are there sort of choices that you have found that you have to make and you have determined are worth making, or, you know, what's your position on some of those crossover foods?
That's a fantastic question. And I have a ton of respect for Dr. Gundry, but, you know, I also argue in the book, there's a pretty robust discussion of gut health and how it relates to brain health. And what I would argue is that, you know, we didn't make it here to 2018 after millions of years of evolutionary struggle to be taken down by an almond. So, you know, when we are able to cultivate gut resilience and to ultimately become as robust of organisms that we really, you know, should be able to become, I think to a certain degree these foods could actually provide benefit to us, in part because they have a little bit of a stressful impact on the gut. This is actually one of my favorite biological concepts, and that is hormesis, that something that is toxic and potentially deadly in a high dose, in a small dose, actually counterintuitively makes us stronger. And certainly today we are seeing epidemic, you know, incidence of gut dysbiosis and inflammatory conditions and autoimmunity and things like that. And this is, you know, due to probably many things, but the fact that, you know, we rely on antibiotics all too frequently, hand sanitizers, antibacterial soaps, and things like that. But you know, if we're able to cultivate a resilient gut by eating lots of, you know, dark leafy greens, dietary fiber, and avoid some of the modern processed additives, then I don't think that, you know, in a robust organism, almonds and lectins and things like that really should present as great of a problem as they do seem to present today for a significant number of people. So, you know, for people that are consuming my diet, I tell them to consume almonds, you know, if they're not allergic to nuts, obviously, and fruits like bell peppers and tomatoes and things like that.
Well, good to hear, because those are some of my favorite things that I've been, you know, sort of wondering how I was going to deal with that, having made a proclamation that I was now a convert to Dr. Gundry's diet. I'm going to cherry pick from that one. And it's interesting, your idea of hormesis, because we ran into that 5 or 6 years ago with a fellow who we were talking about a morning smoothie and whether it should be completely organic. And he was like, you know, I kind of think a little bit of pesticides is actually good for you for that exact reason. And I'm not looking to get into a discussion about that. But he was saying, you know, you put something in that stresses the system gets stronger. And that was his general concept with that. So he was like, I wouldn't go too far and, you know, get too carried away with worrying about what your spinach is, you know, has on it, or has it been washed 3 times and things like that. But so what are the biggest takeaways for your audience on your diet? I mean, obviously you have a list of foods and they're things that in general, I'm a big fan of.
Yes, I mean, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common form of dementia, now affects at least 40% of people over the age of 90. And younger people, millennials in particular, we're the first generation that really is, on average, going to hit the age of 90 as a demographic. And so Alzheimer's disease begins in the brain decades before the first symptom. So I really put forth the notion that you're never too old or too young to start thinking about your brain when it comes to your dietary choices. And as an investment, it's one of the few investments that begins to pay dividends right away. Because by adopting the neuroprotective diet that I propose in Genius Food, by eating, you know, all of these foods like blueberries, dark leafy greens, wild salmon, avocados, your brain actually also starts to work better in the here and now. So, I mean, this is not just paving a road for a better tomorrow. This is actually improving your quality of life in the here and now, recognizing that the brain is really the battery that makes life not only possible, but enjoyable. I mean, you know, our minds, our ability to create, our ability to think and love and feel really is as much a process of an underlying, you know, organ as movement is when it comes to our knee joints, for example. So taking care of our brains really, I think, is of critical importance. And that's really, I think the biggest takeaway.
Well, yes, it is such a big takeaway. And we were speaking with someone, I think it was, are you familiar with Dr. Lisa Moscone? She wrote the book called Brain Food.
I am. We're friends, actually. Yes.
Oh, she's so great. And we spoke with her maybe a couple months ago. But
wait a minute, friends on Facebook or real friends?
Real
just
friends.
Kidding.
Yeah, real friends.
But, you know, she was saying we know, I mean, if you read through your book, it's stuff that we all should know. The genius foods are foods that we should know, if we know anything about nutrition, are good for us. But somehow it's different when you're talking about, oh, eat these foods so you don't get heart disease, or eat these foods so, you know, your organs function properly. It's a completely different thing when you say, eat these foods so your brain will work better. And, you know, that hits home a lot more with people than, you know, thinking about something that they can't see, which is their heart.
Which is great. You could almost argue that the body exists really to move the brain around. So, I mean, you know, a diet that's good for the gut, that's good for the heart, is going to be good for the brain. So I think that they are all related. In fact, people that have been, that have read my book have been reporting weight loss that, you know, they didn't even intend on, that they've been very pleased about. You know, they've been sleeping better and things like that. So, I mean, it's all related. And, you know, it's not a settled science either. So, like, you know, you mentioned Lisa Moscone. She's a brilliant researcher. But me and her, you know, there are a small range of topics that we disagree on. So, for example, in my book, Genius Foods, I really believe that grass-fed red meat, for example, is a health food.
Right.
And she wouldn't necessarily agree with that. You know, I obviously don't say that all meat is a health food, but when it comes to grass-fed, pasture-raised beef, I think it's, you know, researchers speculate that it's not just access to meat, but cooked meat, in fact, that helps catalyze the growth of our brain. So, so you know, there's a little bit of disagreement, but at the end of the day, you know, I think one of the advantages that I've had over the course of writing the book is that I've been able to see the forest for the trees, whereas many researchers, even the most brilliant researchers, actually, you know, they focus on these little microcosms.
Right.
Whereas I've been able to really see the whole field from 30,000 feet to really form my recommendation.
Exactly. Which is as much as I love Dr. Gundry, and it was so great to speak with him. You might say that about him, that he has focused in on this one thing, which is lectins. But we do need a broad scope of what we're consuming and putting in our bodies. And for our listeners who are out there wondering, what are those 10 genius foods? I've got to rattle through them, or maybe you should rattle through them, because they're foods that we know, as I said before, we all know that these are the good foods for us. So why don't you rattle through the list, and then we'll move on to talking about grains.
Definitely. So I talk about avocados, low-sugar fruits like blueberries, and actually avocados are also fruits. I talk about eggs, how, you know, an egg yolk is nature's multivitamin, so eat the yolk. I talk about grass-fed beef, as I've mentioned. Fatty fish, wild salmon is a great example of that, provides the building blocks so that you can grow healthy brain cells for the entirety of your life. We know that exercise is able to help us stimulate the growth of new brain cells, but you need to provide your body with the building blocks to do that, the construction material, so to speak. I talk about dark chocolate. Rejoice. Dark chocolate is a genius food. It's full of polyphenol antioxidants that have been shown to reduce inflammation, boost blood flow, and improve memory function. I talk about, as we talked about briefly, almonds and nuts. You know, when I talk about almonds as a genius food, really what they are there to represent the category. So all nuts are good for you. The one caveat would be that you want to make sure that they are either raw or dry roasted, because roasted nuts, usually what that means is that they've been fried in very unhealthy oil. So you want to make sure that if you're buying roasted nuts that they are dry roasted. I talk about extra virgin olive oil, which is a genius food. It's the only oil that I use in my kitchen as a sauce, and I even at low to medium temperatures cook with it. So extra virgin olive oil is phenomenal. And I think that about covers it.
Max, I have to ask you, with what Lynn just said, this list of foods, you know, we all know somewhere in our deepest recesses that these things are obviously good for us. And out of that entire list, there's one thing that doesn't appeal to me, and that's the dark chocolate. And I'm not a foodie, but if I were to say I crave foods, that list is the food group that I crave. Is that unusual, or, you know, do people somewhere deep down all crave that list of food, and they've just been convinced by advertising that they should eat a bunch of other stuff?
Well, you know, these foods are highlighted for their nutrient density, and some of the foods that I talk about, like the fatty fish, the grass-fed beef, they're not only nutrient-dense, but they're protein-dense. And protein, really, it's believed that protein is what drives, or lack of protein, drives hunger. And so when we eat these foods like fatty fish, grass-fed beef, it's actually they're the most satiating foods that we can eat. So our bodies need them. They want them. But unfortunately, what we've been told to replace them with are grain products and very unhealthy oils that actually help to perpetuate hunger. And so I think, yeah, at the deepest level, our bodies have a knowledge that we really would be better served to listen to more often. Unfortunately, you know, when government gets in the way and tries to make dietary recommendations, that's really where we get led off of the right path.
Oh, that government getting in the way. No, so Max, you just touched on it, and that was my next question, was kind of a segue into grains and kind of the negative aspects of grains, and you just briefly outlined that, but a little bit more, and we only have a minute to kind of cover grains, but why no grains?
Yeah, so grains are nutrient poor and they're energy dense, you know. They've been around for a relative blip on the radar of human evolution. And actually, you know, about 10,000 years ago, when we began to base our diets around these kinds of foods, it paved the way for tooth decay, for nutrient deficiencies to set in, for ultimately the shrinkage of our brains. And so, you know, these foods, I think, if you're metabolically healthy, which unfortunately a minority of people are today, I think that they can be benign at the best. But unfortunately today, you know, we're seeing epidemic rates of obesity and type 2 diabetes and even pre-diabetes. And so for the vast majority of the population, these foods really do not provide any good nutrition. And in fact, they flood the system with sugar, which is inherently damaging. I mean, that's why our bodies go through such great efforts to keep our blood sugar within a very narrow range. And so the foods that I recommend consuming are foods that are lower in sugar and starch and higher in nutrients, so that we can really make sure that we are getting the nutrition that we require and doing so with less of a blood sugar deluge, which, you know, our systems really do not want.
The book is Genius Foods: Become Smarter, Happier, and More Productive While Protecting Your Brain for Life. Our guest is Max Lugavere, and I have to say that I'm ordering this book for my mother today, right after the show, in fact, for Mother's Day.
She'll be so pleased to hear from you.
she will, but it's a great, great book. Thank you so much for joining us, Max.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.